March 29, 2023,
is the Walk for Pedro show. Just one other thing. In fact, I've never been at open air jazz festivals like this, but you played Newport several times, I guess. And in fact, I know, and it's a little minor festival in the States. When you compare them to this affair, yeah.
How do I compare festivals in the States to this?
Yeah, I mean, the reaction from the crowd. Was the crowd noisier or
they compare. Better? They're about the same. You know, it's about the same as the ones I've been on. It's about the same.
Because for 10,000 people that are here in this park, they're pretty quiet when they're
10,000.
Yeah.
When were they 10,000, man?
That's what they but they say that the park can hold, man.
The part that we played last night.
Yeah.
You say can hold 10,000? It didn't look that big to me.
It didn't look that big to me either. But somebody who had to do something with the organization said it can hold 10,000 people.
We should know.
But they're pretty quiet.
10,000.
You like to play these affairs like these open air things?
No, I don't prefer them because usually the acoustics are kind of horrible, you know. I prefer a certain type of club, but we can't always get that either. Or concert hall, you know, good. I find the smaller places, the more compact they are, the better our sound is held together, you know. And we can hear and feel each other better.
The Concertgebouw in Amsterdam, you know, that concert hall.
Yeah, we get a good sound there. I can hear.
Play,
yeah, I can hear pretty well. I can hear everything, you know. Some places, as soon as you hit the first note, it goes all over the place. And you can't feel the flow of the thing, you know.
Are you distracted very much by outside interference? I mean, noisy crowds, people walking around, people taking pictures. Because I have that because you don't look like it, see?
Mm-mm.
You're not too much disturbance.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Too concentrated on the music.
The problems that I have in music, they're always there, you know. They take my time pretty completely, you know.
Ugly, but I don't care what they say. 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 In the morning, in the evening, trudging through their dying world, I'm growing a vicious little demon. And their vicious demon ways. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they conformist way leaves me bewildered and disgusted. at their empty, wasted days. I don't care what they say, I don't care what they say, I don't care what they say. Across deserts, over mountains, I shall wander without end. Through the twilight and the darkness, to the music of another world. I don't care what they say, I don't care what they say, I don't care what they say.
Show, hey brother Matt.
Ahoy.
Another
moist one.
Sky, right?
Another moist one.
Spirit River Spout. And we start off the, how are you doing?
Everything is wonderful.
It's tight air, yeah. Sandbag.
No, everything's pretty good. Holding down the fort pretty well.
We start off John Coltrane being asked by Michael DeRuyter to compare festivals in the US with festivals in Europe, July 27, 1965. And then John Truby, they call me Mr. Ugly. And
yeah,
in person, all the way from fucking end of the Camino Real.
John Truby, in person. Welcome to the pad.
John. And you Amtrak, right, most of the way?
No, I flew down from Santa Rosa on Alaska Airlines.
Okay.
And then to get out of here, I took the red line from North Hollywood to Union Station, Silver Line bus from Union Station to San Pedro, walked about 20 blocks down here.
So light rail. Yeah. So no Amtrak, Pete. Okay. Please bring, for me and Brother Matt, your earliest musical recollection.
My earliest musical recollection, being forced to take piano lessons in Princeton, New Jersey.
Okay.
My
mom.
Even earlier than that, I saw, this is even more primal, I saw a Beethoven record on an RCA mono record player that my dad owned, and I looked at the record and I thought how cool it is to make records and have music be able to come from it. The problem being is I thought Beethoven was really boring. Why do you have boring symphony music on records? Why don't they make records that are funny and fun? And ironically enough, I got to make my own records, which are funny and fun, I think.
So the problem is the content, not the media.
Yeah, the content. Yeah. But I'm fascinated by the recording and music to begin with.
The idea of being able to embed it in a piece of media.
Yes, I'm thankful for it.
Ludwig started it for you.
Yeah.
Now we've had guests on the show where they were almost driven from the field of music because of that experience of the piano lessons. Mm.
Sure. I almost was, too.
Okay.
Okay.
It seems, am I wrong about this, Brother Matt? Not the idea of piano lessons, but it's the fucking teacher.
Teacher's the key.
Brother Matt, teacher of the year several times, not so much with piano, but school of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody learns different, and you got to be sensitive to that.
There's a skill. There's a technique to it. So I think a lot of these cats, they might know how to work that machine, but they don't know how to teach.
Yeah, do it my way.
wasn't the teacher. It was being forced to do something. I'm very strong-willed. I don't like being forced to do something. So I was being forced to play these tedious exercises, and I had a tantrum, and my mom let me quit playing piano, but then she started me on trumpet when I was in fifth grade, and then later on I started guitar in 1970.
I think 15. A good teacher, though, would have turned that strong will into a fucking hankering for music. That's the trick of being a teacher. It's not forcing some shit before you even meet the student.
Yeah.
That's, in my opinion.
Yeah. How do we mold this clay? This right. clay's got something going.
That's bringing the fucking crowbar to the plastic spoon. anyway, whatever. All the paths, right, they lead us to now. So you end up on trumpet. Now, is this marching band?
No, just trumpet lessons. I think I played one school recital, which is pretty wretched and awful. I was not the greatest music student. And then finally
I asked this because, you know, a lot of schools got rid of the music program.
Yeah. No, we had music programs. Okay, we're talking 50, 60
what
years
ago. What about
choir? No, I was never into singing too much. No.
All right. What about first record you bought with your own money?
Okay. About 1970, I think it was 1969. September 1969. I really wanted to buy Magical Mystery Tour because I loved the tunes on it. Hello, Goodbye, and Strawberry Fields. I really, really wanted to get that record because all those songs are really great. And I went to the Beatles section. They didn't have Magical Mystery Tour, so I got Sgt. Pepper instead. And I was so disappointed because I really wanted to get Magical Mystery Tour. And I think it cost about $4.95. 1969, yeah. I took it home, played it on my dad's radio, on my record player.
Yeah.
And the music sounded so cool that I started shaking involuntarily. I was so excited listening to it.
Oh, so that's, you liked it anyway.
That's only happened a couple times in my life where I'm shaking with excitement, and that happened when I first heard Sgt. Pepper on my dad's stereo.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
powerful experience.
Set up for a disappointment because of no Magical Mystery. I think Magical Mystery Tour was a TV show in England.
Yeah.
Kind of cobbled together and. But that's where I think they start using the outfits and shit that ended up in Sgt. Pepper. They're kind of in the same era.
Yes.
Kind of, not the fourth act, but a strong third act for that outfit. Okay, first gig you saw.
First gig? I think a little tricky. I have a couple good ones. Procol Harum at Alexander Hall at Princeton University, this old Gothic theater, sort of circular theater. Somebody asked.
Princeton, New Jersey?
Yeah, New Jersey. Princeton, New Jersey, where I grew up.
Franklin built that school.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of the only frat parties I ever played was at Princeton.
Great.
Yeah,
men
played a frat party.
So, Procol Harum, I didn't know anything
about
it.
It must have been Robin Trower days.
Robin Trower was in the band at that time, 71 or though. And around that time, my dad was having an affair with his secretary, unbeknownst to my mom and the rest of us. And for some reason, his secretary and her husband at the time, it was convoluted, took us to the Fillmore East, and we saw a T-Rex, Mountain, and some band called the Family Dog, I think.
Wow.
That was it.
The T-Rex was the first gig I saw.
Yeah. Whoa, cool.
But this is 73, so you beat us.
Yeah. Well, this is my 71, 72, somewhere in there.
Yeah,
I forget.
But we were 73 at Long Beach Auditorium. We saw the Slider Tour.
Oh, great. Great.
It's our first gig.
Good.
So, everybody says it, but you're the only other cat I know that had a first game that was might have been team.
Yeah.
We're
showing our age.
Bitching.
Are you?
I'm showing my age.
No, because I talked to people who saw. I had a cat on the show. This was a bassman from Nebraska, Omaha, Derek Higgins. He told me about sitting on John Coltrane's fucking lap.
Whoa!
Yeah, in Chicago. His pop knew Jimmy Griffin and on tour with Miles Davis. He comes to
the store. Damn.
Ma cooked him chow and he sat on there. Mr. Coltrane sat on his lap. So we all got. That's why I like asking those questions. They're singular.
Sure.
You
know?
Yeah, it's neat.
Okay. So what? You give up the trumpet, you don't stay with it.
Wasn't happy about it. I could tell you why and how I got into guitar.
Yeah.
Okay. Growing up in Princeton, one of the memories that I have is driving in Dad's car, and he'd listen to Cousin Brucey on the radio, WABC in New York City. He'd play all the hits by the Mamas and the Papas and the Beach Boys and the Beatles and Phil Spector and
Carol
Motown.
Yeah.
Motown, all that 60s stuff.
She was on some of that, too.
Happy birthday. Her birthday was last night.
Suffused with all the, you know, the Wrecking Crew and all this.
You're talking about driving in Princeton.
Yeah.
Brother Matt, left-hand turns. They got this thing called the Judd handle, where you actually make a start, and you make it from the right lane. You come around.
Oh.
Yeah, they got their own way of making fucking courtside things from the start. But anyway.
So I loved all that music, the pop music at that area. It had a hold on me. Around that time, age 1969, I saw a book called The Beatles, the authorized biography by Hunter Davies, and I read this book and picked it up at Woolworth's on Nassau Street in Princeton. I read this book. I used to be into science fiction before. Jules Verne, H.G. Wells, Ray Bradbury.
Yep.
This one book I picked up because I was curious about the Beatles and all this music I loved, and that book ruined my life. Once I read about the Beatles, these guys picking up guitars and making music and making records and all the things that happened, I thought, how cool wouldn't it be fun to make records? What a cool thing to make records. It wasn't about being famous and it wasn't about money. How do you put this music together? All this music that I listen to on the radio, I want to make that. I want to do that. I want to do what they did, not to be famous. Just how do you put music together? Fascinating. How do you do it? Music is magic. That's all.
Guitar, though, you were sitting.
Okay, guitar. In 1970, I was babysitting my brother, Brooks. I was with a group of kids. There was a dead crow on a basketball court. We decided to get a Molotov cocktail and put it on the dead crow and burn the dead crow with a Molotov cocktail. Burned the basketball court a little bit, made an ugly mark on it.
Yeah.
My parents found out about it. They asked me about it. I lied and said I wasn't involved. They found out that I lied. To punish me, they grounded me for for the whole summer of 1970. On July 7th, 1970, I remember the day, I got my mom to take me to Farrington's music store on Dutch Necks, and we rented a guitar because I wanted to learn to play guitar. It was a nylon string guitar. It was a nylon string guitar, amazingly enough. And that summer...
No, a lot of cats, the first guitar they get... It's usually acoustic when they can't understand why it don't sound like the guitar's on the
right. That's what it is. So it was a nylon string guitar. Yeah. I started playing and
people
teaching.
People play with it. Spanner style, they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
The strings are kind of spread apart.
Yeah.
Actually more for arpeggiating kind of finger picking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you remember the first song you learned?
Heck. Maybe The House of the Rising Sun
or
All Along the Watchtower, the easy chords. All Along the Watchtower, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah, Bobby Dylan or Jimmy's version.
Yeah, Jimmy's version, of course.
Of course. Look, you gave me some music here. Jellyfish from Space, talking about that.
Yeah, Jellyfish.
Across the galaxies come jellyfish, highly developed jellyfish with great intelligence, who have come to destroy mankind. Zombies from outer space have come to kill us because Patty Hearst sent them. Patty Hearst was a potato chip, and she sent the jellyfish across the universe to come and disintegrate the Earth with a neutron bomb.
I got high last night on LSD. My mind was beautiful, dive was free. Warts love my nipples because they are pink. Bob it on me, baby, yeah, yeah, yeah. A blind man's penis is a wreck because he is blind. It's a wreck because he is blind. A blind man's penis is a wreck because he's blind. It's a wreck because he's blind. Let's make love under the stars. Watch for UFOs. If little baby Martians come out of the UFOs, you can love them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The zebra spilled his plastic on Venus, and the Jelson fingers ooze electric marbles. Ramona's titties died in hell, and the Nazis want to kill. They kill everyone. A blind man's penis is a wreck because he's blind. A blind man's penis is a wreck because he's blind.
flying around the sky. Flying around the sky. she comes, she's nobody's light.
Till I
Watford Pedro Show. And Chuck of Music start off John Kuby doing Jellyfish from Space. Oh, yeah. Phil K. Dick.
The Jellyfish from Space.
We can't remember. We can't forget that science fiction.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, Valis.
Okay.
Then we had Ben. You're on this here. This is Zug's Rift and his Amazing Shitheads playing at Bebop.
Yeah.
In 84. Reseda people, that west side of the valley. Art Band.
Yes, Art Band.
Okay. Yeah. Which is on one of his albums, too.
Yes.
And you're on. Actually, I think Richie's fucking jamming bass at the same time. I think there's two basses going.
He had two bass players. Yeah. Yeah.
Then we had John Truby with Blind Man's Penis. This was your notoriety.
Yeah.
He said stuff about being famous, but this happened.
Yes.
Right. I gave Brother Matt a little insight.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
But let's go. Guide by Voices after that. Ballroom Etiquette. Bob Pollard, Every Other Month Must Be New Album. This man is prolific. Capital P. Sam Locke, Ward, Iowa City with Ashes. The locusts and crickets have consumed most of the harvest, and all that's left are moldy peaches. That's from Puppet Midnight, One Man Bass Man in England. Head Boggle after that. Fusion GRP. R0 Knot with a Blackening Dub. Zach Rosen, Brand New. Come Back Alone. And finally, John Truby, Oh My Hands. So, played three tunes there. Oh, actually, four tunes with you on there.
Thank you.
Want to get into any of that or continue with the background story?
Well, we
can. Because you get this guitar and you learn House of the Riders and Sun.
Right.
Right. Or Along the Watchtower.
Along the Watchtower, yeah. The Hendrix version.
Minor.
A minor, G, F.
Yeah, right, right. Well, the Duke of Earl chords. All the
sure.
Rocky Erickson, all the songs. You know,
yeah.
So, what about after school, not after graduate, but in the afternoon? Do you get into the garage band, basement band, bedroom band thing?
Yeah. I was sent to an elite boys prep school. I was an actual preppy at that time. I was able to eventually graduate to a Fender Stratocaster guitar that I bought. I wanted to get a Stratocaster like on the back of Layla, sunburst Stratocaster with a maple neck like Eric Clapton had. I really, really wanted
to. By the way, the guy who wrote that song we just lost last week.
Yeah, Jim Gordon and Eric Clapton co-wrote
that. Right? All the royalties. From that Layla song, so everybody could play it.
Sure.
Up there at Falconville.
So he still got the royalty.
Real Falconville song. Mm.
So I got the Fender Strat.
You must have got an amp.
My brother was playing a Farfisa organ, and he had a Fender basement amp. So I just got the guitar from Manny's in New York.
Ah, 48th Street.
Yeah.
You know, all that shit's gone now.
I know. It's all gone. Yeah. But I asked Mom, I can't afford this guitar. And she said, if you save for half, I'll pay for half.
Oh,
so it was $250. Mom gave me $125. I got the under $25, bought the Strat. And my mom passed away of pancreatic cancer in 2013. But I named my guitar's funny name, so I call that guitar Mom's Help. Because Mom helped me buy it. Mom's Help.
Yeah. Nice.
Strat.
Now, how do you learn on auto? Self-taught, or do you go to lessons?
I took a couple lessons from some students from Princeton University, and then I listened to records. When I went to Lawrenceville School, they even had a classical music teacher. So I took some classical music lessons, learned to read a little bit on the guitar. Then one of my friends at Lawrenceville School, Jim Nevius, had a band called Gloop Knox and the Stick People. And I said, I'd like to play in your band. Can I audition? And he said, yeah. And he never called me. And I really, really wanted to be in a band.
Yeah.
So I was proactive, and I called him. When he didn't call me, he invited me over to Yardley, Pennsylvania. And I took the bus, just like I took the bus today, down to Trenton, walked across the bridge to Morrisville, Pennsylvania, and auditioned for his band, and I got in his band.
Trent, you know who lives there? Andrew and Sim from Henry's old Gone Band. They were called the Turds with Corn in them. They were popcorn flakes. They're still living there. Trent, no.
Yeah.
If George Washington... For one thing, they didn't have a dollar back then, but that guy got it across that river.
He
quite a fucking arm.
Kicked ass on the Hessians who were partying. And
It was Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, and
they were mobbed.
George and company surprised them. Thank God.
Right. You know, don't call it terrorism. Okay, so anyway, this is how you start playing. This is the first band you're in.
Yes.
Can you remember the first time you started wailing with these guys? What was it?
Yeah, we learned stuff by King Crimson, like 21st Century Schizoid Man, and we played some David Suffragette City, and we played a bunch of originals. We
kept really? Originals?
Yeah, originals.
Now, who wrote it? Was it the band leader guy?
Yeah, band leader Jim Nevius, and it consisted of me on guitar, Jim Nevius on guitar and vocals, Daryl DiLiberto on congas and bass, Michael Osborne, who's an accomplished drummer. He after the band sort of split up, Michael went on to his tour with Danny and the Juniors. He was in the Rock Cats and Beat Rodeo. He also played percussion with Marshall Crenshaw, as well as Holly and the Italians. And
I remember seeing them in Hollywood.
And he was also the drum tech for the Go-Go's and went on the road with the Go-Go's. And then Mike lives in the Bay Area, and he still, even to this day, 50 years later, he's recorded on my most recent album. So we're still
cool
buddies, and he's a great player.
Do you remember your first gig with these guys?
We played it. Oh, heck, it was...
Because they'd already been active, right?
We didn't have many gigs. We just rehearsed, and I would go to rehearsal to get away from home because my dad was just really, really angry person, and I just wanted to spend the weekend. So mainly we just rehearsed. We played at a couple dances. We played at a talent show. We played at a talent show at Pensbury High School, and we did our weird, disjointed, progressive thing, and then a teenage jazz band played, and they got the prize, and I didn't give a damn about the prize. We were just having fun. But from the stage, after the teenage jazz combo won their prize, Daryl scolded that band from the stage. He said, "You guys suck. We should have got the prize. We should have got the prize." It was like being like one of those Grammy things, like going on stage.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Daryl was doing it. I thought, how stupid. Yeah. These talent contests are BS. It's just fun to play the music, you know.
So I think you had a good angle on that.
Yeah.
Now, what about you composing for the band? Did you do any?
Yeah, I did some tune. I can still even remember it.
So maybe one of your first tunes.
Or
what were you doing composition-wise?
I did a song. It's the groovy new fad. It's all over town. You can bump your fat ass into the ground. Da 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 da. A really goofy thing. And we actually recorded it, and then I contributed some other
stuff.
Also,
this band did record also.
Well, I mainly recorded them on cassette tapes, the rehearsals. That's all it was.
Okay.
We never got into the studio. We were teenagers. We didn't have any money.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not nowadays, teenagers can make records no problem.
Yeah.
In those days.
Well, I have the cassette player, player, the micro, and the Radio Shack mixer, but it's not quite as cool as what the kids have.
These days. Yeah. Still, content's important.
Yeah.
Right. Remember going back to that fucking Mr. Beethoven on that disc?
Yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour. March 29, 2023, Dishwap Pedro Show special guest John Truby. Hold tight for hour two. March 29, 2023 is the second hour of Watt Pedro Show.
Taps up on my mind. stop.
Watt for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with John Truby and the Rain Song. Alexander Hack after that. Pass halfway a little bit with his big piece about imaginary youth in Berlin. This is Kleine Nachtmusik. Fail after that with Breach. Then Luke Lund with Balloon into the Light. Final with The Way of the World. Enchanted Dance of the Humorless, Ill-Tempered Corporate Executives, from John Truby. So, now how long has this band
lasted? This band was just for a couple of years, 1974 to 76. We graduated in 75. I was out of the school for about a year and then went to music school after that.
Yeah. Okay, higher education with music. Which one?
Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Boston, right. A lot of people go. How was your experience?
It was fascinating. Keep in mind, I just think of myself as a guy that loves to play guitar.
Yeah.
I don't have a big head. I don't have a big ego. I very well know my limitations. I love music. All I want to do is play guitar. So I have this enthusiasm. When I decided to go to Berklee, I remember going in there to check it out, and there's these little practice rooms, like closets with little windows there, guy playing a snare drum, you know, drumming away and looking, and guy next door, alto sax, playing all the scales. Yeah. Amazing players and highly competitive musicians. Yeah. And if you have a faulty ego and go in there, you're going to be decimated trying to compare yourself with all these monster players playing there. My feeling is this is just a place that has a lot of information that I want. I want to get in there and get that information so I can use it in a skill set.
Yeah.
I'm not competing with anybody. There's monster players here. This is not a competition. I want knowledge. I want skills. And so I decided to go there. Also, at the time I decided to go to music school, I saw a why in my life. You know, at times in your life where you see a lot of why, one road going one way and the one road going another.
Yeah.
At that time, I had grown up as a privileged preppy. My dad was a banker. We had a indoor pool in the backyard. My dad gave me a car when I was 17 so I could drive to school. I went to a prep school. I went to a summer camp when I was a kid. A spoiled rich kid in a way. At the same time, I was dealing with my angry father, who was like living in a minefield where it would blow up all the time. So I just wanted to escape home. When I went to school, I said, if I'm going to music school and choose music and get into the arts and the creative stuff, I'm going to struggle because it's very hard to make money doing this. But if I go to music school, become straight person like my parents were, you know, the normal thing and acquiring and going up in a high career and making a lot of money, I'll be miserable because it's not what I want. It's boring. It's mediocre. I want to pursue the arts and the music and learn how to do music. It's going to be a hard road. But I'm going to choose that because if I go the other path, I'm going to hang myself. And I saw that it was going to be a hard path, and it has been a hard path, but I chose it. So I saw that why right there when I decided to go to music school. And I said, I just wanted to get in there. I'm not trying to compete with these monster great players. I just want to get in there and learn this stuff and learn how to do it so I can make records. I really, really want to make records. I was also sometimes not the greatest music student. I remember going in to Hank Wiktorowicz, who was a great guitar player, played with the Boston Pops. He was my guitar teacher at Berklee. I went in there and had a bad lesson one day because I wasn't properly prepared. And he said, why did you bother to come to Berklee? Why did you come to if you're not going to be prepared? And I said to Hank, I came because I wanted to learn composition, arranging. I want to learn all this stuff. I wasn't going to here to be a monster player, but I want to learn all it. How do you, you know, put arranging and composing together? He took that as a little affront because I wasn't really focused on guitar so much as learning all the other stuff. And after that, we had a truce, and he treated me nice when I came in, and he didn't try to push me or pressure me because he wasn't able to psych me out. I'm there to learn stuff, and yeah, I fucked up that one guitar lesson, but it's not the end of the world.
First time I heard of Berklee School of Music, I got the Richard Held Voidoid album.
Yeah.
Blank Generation. You open it up, the sleeve had all these pictures. And there was Bob Quine's Berklee School of Music ID card.
Great.
Yeah, and I asked Richard Held about that, and he said, yeah,
right.
He went there. Now, what I heard was the big resource was Connects.
Connect?
Of course, they had knowledge to teach people. Yeah, you need that.
Okay, you're networking, huh?
Connects.
Yeah.
That's Freemasonry, you know? Don't use the yellow pages.
At the time I was going there, Steve Vai was a guitar player there. I probably passed him in the hall, but I never met him there. I became briefly acquainted with him in Hollywood years later.
I knocked his ass down, man, coming out of an elevator.
Yeah, but no, I didn't connect with people because I'm a hermit, I'm a lone wolf, I don't socialize very well, and that's one of my great crippling downfalls and defects. I don't network very well. I live like a hermit. I'm a lone wolf. I rarely talk to people. I don't hang around with people. And that's impeded me getting a lot more stuff done in my life. It's just my temperament. I'm a hard ass.
So did you have any Boston bands during this period?
Yeah, I got into this band of these guys that were not associated with the school. They left a notice on one of the bulletin boards. I answered it, and I got in this band. It was called the Busters, and we did stuff like Bruce Springsteen covers and Steely Dan or something. And I was not crazy about it. I just did it as a place to play. At that time, I ran into my first girlfriend, who took my virginity. I lost my virginity on April 2nd, 1978. I was a late bloomer. I was 21. She was 7 years older than me. I moved in with her so I could escape the dormitories at Berkeley. And it was very fun and exciting. It was very strange because I had zero contact with women beforehand. And then here I'm living with her and her six-year-old son, like we're a mini family. It's very strange.
What about composition?
Pardon? Yeah.
You work because in this band, obviously you're playing covers and stuff. But are you doing composition on your own?
At Berkeley, I'm learning. They're giving me assignments of things to do. I think I wrote a sonata for flute and piano that's never been performed. Yeah, I took some composition courses and recording or composing stuff, but not necessarily getting it played.
Because I mean, you end up being quite a songwriter, so I'm trying to find where the beginning was.
I learned a lot of skill. What I found most helpful there was learning diatonic harmony and how diatonic harmony works. And I took some songwriting courses there, and it was helpful. But I'm always looking for that elusive hook, that cool melody, that melody that gets in your head, the earworm that doesn't go away. I'm always searching for it. And sometimes I've got just the smidgen of it, and I still have earworms in my head. So I have melodies in my head, and then I write them, and then every 5 or 10 years when I have enough money, I'll go into the studio, and in between, I have these tunes I'm trying to get out.
Well, what about in those days? How far along were you?
I wasn't doing a lot of independent song. In fact, before I went to Berkeley is when I did The Blind Man's Penis, and I just wrote the lyrics for Blind Man's Penis. So that was an actual song. That was the most famous song that everybody knows me for, and nobody pays attention to anything I've done since then. You know,
it's really playing it
the silly prank that I did when I was 19 years old, and then nothing else in my life matters. And I work my ass off to put out an album, send out promo copies of the album, and crickets. But everybody wants to hear about Blind Man Penis, so I'll tell you about that. If
that got over the man or the system or something like you. Jive somebody. I don't know. You know how humans are.
It was a prank.
Interesting.
Humans.
Yeah.
But, okay. So how does this work out, your Boston phase?
So I had to split up with Robin, and I wanted to go to California.
Why?
Growing up, again in Princeton, on Prospect Avenue, driving your dad's car, listening to all that music, the Beach Boys and the Birds and all these California bands, and also growing up as a child in the 60s, watching too much damn television, which I regret, but I was fascinated with L.A. and California and getting away from my parents and getting away from the East Coast and the cold weather and raking leaves. California, fascinating.
I'll tell you about the shape of the state of California.
Yeah. What about it?
It's a larger reverse opposite of the New Jersey.
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah, a polar opposite.
Yeah, You know what else is trip? It's time now. Bring forth the spin cycle to get you going with some improv with Brother Matt.
See how that works.
Okay.
John Truvia Board with his improvising interpretation.
Well, you guys were talking about T-Rex, so that's where we started, and then it just went from there.
You never know what it brings, but, you know, maybe sometimes...
There's nothing ever like it before.
That's right. Maybe that's the crowbar we needed to pry it out of the fucking... realm of possibility.
Sure.
And it's been a second. Go ahead,
brother. Oh, I just wanted to apologize for that shitty guitar that.
Yes, not the playing, but the actual instrument.
Yeah, the guitar. Yeah, the actual. The crap. Yeah, you're fine, but it's a crappy. You took that crappy guitar and you made it work.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it hadn't touched a human hand in years, so.
You know how they give gold stars out to kids just for being in class? I think that's what I'm getting, a gold star, just for just to make me feel good.
I apologize for the crappy tools we gave you.
Right, poor Carpenter blames his tools.
Yeah.
People, it's second hour, March 29, 2023, this week, what Peter, so hang tight for hour three. March 29, 2023, it's third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
dead.
You see, though I work with this chair, many of you heard it.
So, you know, trans their bodies on the old cross-sex smash on a continuum.
The sky, I tell you what it is.
Posted light to what they have planned with their views, their views,
and their portion of the news.
You see, I also jump the way I am. The Father's love. And
a heart that'll look up on the of the Lord.
It's a dead relation people are looking for all over the world.
Oh,
Rock for Pedro show. Started off third hour with John Truby, The End of Infinity. Eye Rolls after that with Way Beyond Dead. Xenocrotic AMM All-Stars. I'm on base with this. Sci-Fi Hangover Cure. Yeah, they had me send stuff over the internet. Part of their improvised kind of. Not like in the moment, like it's Spin Saga's brother, man.
Yeah.
John, okay. John Truby finally with Flamenco Potlatch. Flamenco, I'm thinking D. Boone. That's what he did, Nylon String.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you come out to California to continue with your music.
Yes.
You come out to California.
1980. I am roommates with Richie Hass at 5519 Bonner Avenue. We're roommates for about 6 months.
So maybe this is how you meet Zug Zrift.
No, I met Zug Zrift and Richie in 1975. That we were friends back in New Jersey.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. So I was acquainted with Richie Haas and Zug Zrift back in New Jersey.
Because they both come out to California.
Yes, and I came out later.
But were you following their thing or it was independent?
No, it was independent. I was good friends with Zug Zrift. It was starting in 1975. We chatted a lot on phone. And but I always had it in my head to come to California ever since I was a kid.
And you never wanted to be in his band then?
It wasn't so much to be in his band as the music was in L.A., and I was interested in music, and I wanted to escape the damn East Coast.
But you ended up playing with him. I know you're on one of his albums.
Yes, he invited me to be in the band. We're good friends. We're almost like best buddies.
Because you were roommates with Richie? That's a connect?
Well, no.
Oh, you're already phone friends.
Yeah, I Zug's played at a artist collective benefit in Trenton, New Jersey in 1975. We became friends after that. His band Zobis with Richie on vibraphone. Yes. Zug's had an ARP 2600 synthesizer. There was a bass player, drummer in the band, a sax player, as well as Scott Colby on slide. I was impressed by the van. We started talking. We were in the same sort of music together. Yes. And so we just talked and became friends after that.
Were you big into Cat Beefheart?
I was, Zug's was more into that. Yeah.
Well, people usually like pick between the two, Frank Zappa and Cat Beefheart.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were both, sort of fans of those artists. However, I would like to publicly declare that at this point in life, as a geezer, I'm focused on my own music right now. I'm no longer anybody's fanboy. I was fanboy of various bands back then. Of course, yes, all them. But after, life is very short. Sure. We are going to die soon. Yeah. I have all this music in my head. I have a damn blowtorch under my ass. I have to get this music out. The time and energy I squander paying attention to other people's music, I can't make my own music. I had an epiphany in the 1980s working for $5 an hour. I could either take some money and go buy the album by my latest favorite artist, or I could buy a Maxell cassette to dub my own music to promote my own music. I started investing the money in my own music, and at that point I stopped paying that much attention to other people so I could focus my time and energy and resources on my own music.
And this is Ugly Janitors?
Ugly Janitors, yeah.
What about the first Ugly Janitor too?
It was actually a band called the Van Zelm and the Geeks, consisting of M.B. Gordy on drums, Jack Vies on bass, Larry Lajmer, who later died of cancer, on bassoon and flute and baritone. Chris Wall of the Flesh Eaters was a percussionist in the band, as well as Ofer Schur, who later played with Buddy Miles in the Buddy Miles band, but he was a keyboard player. He ultimately committed suicide in the 1990s. So and we played at the Anti Club.
Oh, wow.
Remember the Anti Club, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
Brendan Mullen for a while booked it, the guy who booked the Bass Beat.
Yeah.
Then it turned into like a Vietnam club with a metal detector around the house.
Yes. Yeah.
Things change. That's the only thing that stays the same. So, okay, let's play this. Message to Jeff. Who is Jeff?
Okay, yeah, this is one of my favorite songs. I'm glad that you brought this up. I'd like to briefly talk about this and get through it. I worked at a company called American Home Shield in Santa Rosa. It was a call center. We sold home warranties. And we started making good money, and I was, you know, a middle-aged guy putting home warranties on people's houses. It was a corporate thing. A lot of young people there. It was a fun place to work. This guy named Jeff, hired by corporate, came to the office and was wandering around with a clipboard to look at what we were doing. And we thought, oh, a guy from corporate, he's looking at our performance and what we're doing and stuff like that. This was right at when the housing market was blowing up in 2006, 2007, before everything blew to hell.
Right.
And we were putting home warranties on homes, right when the real estate market was blowing up. And we thought, oh, this guy, Jeff, oh, he's from corporate. He's seeing what we do. Very good. Turns out that Jeff was an executioner, and his job was to make notes about the company in order to fire people. Yeah. So he was actually our executioner. He
pulled the herd.
So early 2007, they fired 190 of us from the call center. People were livid. I was really pissed off because I was making decent money then, and I was really pissed off at this guy named Jeff. Jeff, it turned out, was not even a corporate guy. He was an outside consultant hired to downsize corporations. So I got this work song in my head. We're gonna string you up. We're gonna stab you down. We're gonna stomp your head. You goddamn son of a bitch. And when I die, and tell your wife and your kids you won't be going home. You're never going home. We're gonna string you up. We're gonna stab you down. Just this angry screw you song to this guy that took our jobs away. I had this melody in my head since that time, 15 years, an earworm in my head. 15 years later, I still like this melody, and at that time, it's not good to hang on to anger, because anger will corrode your soul. And people lose their jobs, they get their jobs go away. It's just part of life.
Yeah.
We have to live with it. Yeah. So I let the anger go, but I still have this melody in my head. Da 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 and da 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 da. Okay. Ugly Janitors are in the studio 15 years later, 2022. I have a bunch of songs that we rehearsed, and this is this one tune that we did not rehearse. I made a lead sheet of it, brought it to the studio.
Yeah.
We're in the studio doing a tracking session. I put the music in front of their faces. I said, don't be afraid of this, guys. Let's just run through this and just loop the song and play it over and over again and see if it works. And they played it once or twice in the studio. We put it on tape or on digital, and I was playing the guitar melody. That night, I wrote the lyrics, finished up the lyrics, talking more about, and when I die and when I'm gone, you won't remember me, you don't remember me. And the verse of the lyrics are just the dark things, musing about life and about work, and just a lot of dark things about, you know, how we struggle through life and people don't listen to us. And I'm not necessarily a negative person, but I think dark thoughts and I like to express them. It gives me joy to embrace the darkness and drag it up and put it in lyrics. And the music came together. Lori Amat used to sing with the Residents, toured with them, played on a bunch of albums.
About to do their 50-year anniversary.
Yeah. She's, I don't know if she was involved with that.
The message to Jeff.
Yeah. Okay.
We wasted all our days.
Bye from Peter Show Last Music for this edition. Starting that chunk off, you heard that intro from Mr. Truby himself. Message to Jeff. You hear that, Jeff? Then we got Fly Fly with Help for Fake Thief Lords and Rap War. This is from this Ukrainian benefit. It's really fucking exciting. What's it called? TQUKR. And Exit. And then finally, John Henry from John Truby. John Henry, your hero.
Yeah, John Henry, that piece was actually composed by Jack Feast, the bass player in my band, playing solo bass through fuzz with harmonics. And he was a very accomplished bass player, played on a fretless bass. He wrote that, so that's actually his composition. And he ended up, after leaving the Ugly Janitors, he became faculty of Yale University in the music department, teaching composition. Wow. So he's a great guy.
You got an email address you want everybody to know?
Yes, email address. Truby Records, I can send you out the catalog. I'm also seeking gigs for guitar, gigs for band, or if you have any
email address, T-R-U-B-E-E.
My email address is John, J-O-H-N, T-R-B-0-9 at gmail.com. That's John, T-R-B-0-9 at gmail.com. I seek to supply you with my records. If you're curious, I can send you the catalog, as well as I'm seeking to play guitar, gigs for the band, or any inquiry, spiritual consultation, anything you want, inquire. I'd love to speak with you.
So you leave the U out of the email address.
It was just generated by Gmail when I, that's all. Yeah.
Okay, so people, you got that there. John gave it to you there. And what's your next plan now that this record's out?
Well, it's a
scene. Are you already thinking about the next record?
No. I have tons of tunes in my head. Right now I'm retired. I have zero access to money to get back in the studio. This last album, The Deserts of Eternity, cost me $7,000 out of my own savings to record. I was able to get a couple hundred of the CDs to give out to promote and sell. I'm never going to make the $7,000 back. Since I'm retired, I am living on Social Security. Money's really tight, so I'm actively seeking to do guitar gigs. I'm playing for memory care patients up in Santa Rosa, play guitar for an hour, Burt Bacharach tunes and John Truby original tunes get paid $100 an hour or so.
Do you think it helps these people?
What?
It's therapy, right?
Well, yeah, and just people in memory care, they don't do anything all day. So it's nice to have live music coming in. I love to do that. I'm hustling. I played brew pubs and restaurants. I'm looking for more gigs for solo guitar. Looking for gigs for my band. I'm not putting a band together until we actually get gigs. I've been hustling and hustling and hustling. A lot of crickets. It's a challenge. It's like being a salesman, knocking on doors. Hey, lady, want to buy some encyclopedias? Yeah, very difficult. It's a challenge, but I love it. I'm going to keep after it and keep on doing it. I'm working on the wineries, things like that. Email John, TRB09 at gmail.com. I'm hustling for gigs, hustling to sell records.
When are you going to come back down to SoCal?
Whenever there's a reason. There's a good reason. This is an adventure.
There's a reason. Come back on the fucking Lock for Pedro show with me and Brother Matt.
I have more stories we haven't even hit. I have all sorts of sick stories. Yeah, I'll bring a decent guitar.
Yeah, bring a real guitar.
I leave it up to you. You invite me.
That's the invite.
Okay, so you give me the date and I'll be here. Yeah.
What about the summertime?
That's a possibility. August, beginning of August is no good. Doing a first couple weeks of August, I'm going to be away.
July?
Sure.
Write me an email. Let's get together.
All right. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's all these weird stories.
I know. We ran out of time.
That's okay.
We don't have to go through the fucking Princeton and Boston. Day.
Right. We're done with that.
So we'll be more up to date.
Whatever you say. You're in charge.
I ain't in charge, but I want to facilitate a good spiel.
Sure. Absolutely.
But Matt, thank you for your always essential aiding to get.
Right on. Right on. Nice having you here, John.
2023 edition of the Live from Fever Show. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.